This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we now reach a particularly interesting part of the story of Musa alayhi salam. The thing that I want to mention to you before we go further is that Musa alayhi salam is the closest to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in terms of many things, in terms of his ministry as a prophet, as a messenger, in terms of the conditions that he came under, in terms of the conditions that he faced, in terms of the challenges that he faced. And interestingly, even where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Musa alayhi salam in the Quran, where he mentioned the story of the jinn who listened to him, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting Quran, the jinn said, "This is the Rasul who has come after Musa alayhi salam." Right? Even though, if you look at it chronologically, the one closest to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time is Isa alayhi salam, not Musa alayhi salam. Despite that, the mention in the Quran is that he is the one who came after Musa. Now, there's the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is paired more with Musa alayhi salam than with Isa alayhi salam is because of these similarities. For example, Musa alayhi salam came at a time when his people were, there was widespread ignorance, there was widespread idol worship in that society. The Egyptians were like the Greeks and the Romans, both before their time and simultaneous with them and their contemporaries, as well as the Hindus who were before their time and simultaneous until today. They were not just idol worshippers like, or idolaters like the Quraysh or Makkah. They were people with a very complicated and detailed mythology and all kinds of rituals and so on and so forth, including some very some very horrible rituals of human sacrifice and whatnot associated with their god. So this was something which was common. Idol worship was common to Musa alayhi salam's times and the times of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second thing is that both Musa alayhi salam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were warriors. They fought wars, battles, not so much wars, but they fought battles for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against people who were the enemies of the of Islam, which was the deen of the time of Musa alayhi salam and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the people of Musa alayhi salam were the Muslims of their time. Then Musa alayhi salam was a lawgiver. He was the one who brought a book. He was a Rasul who brought a book. Isa alayhi salam also is a Rasul because he also got a book. But the book of Isa alayhi salam is not a law in itself. It supports the book of Musa alayhi salam. Right? The Injil or the Bible supports, or the Gospel supports the Torah. The actual original book of law, which is the divine book of law, is the Torah. The Talmud, which the Jewish people use for their law, is not a divine book. It is the sayings and teachings of different rabbis through time, but it's not a divine revelation. Whereas the Torah is a divine revelation. And the Jews, they honor it differently in that sense. The Torah is honored as a divine revelation. So that is another similarity between Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Musa alayhi salam, which is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also came with a divine revelation. He is also a lawgiver, and so was Musa alayhi salam as the lawgiver. And of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final and last of the lawgivers. Then another similarity at a personal level was that Musa alayhi salam was married and he had children, and so did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whereas Isa alayhi salam was not married, he didn't have children. Isa alayhi salam was remained unmarried throughout his life, and it's one of our parts of our part, one of the parts of our belief that Isa alayhi salam was lifted alive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him from being crucified, and that he will return to the earth as at the end of time, and then he will marry, and so he will complete his life, and then he will die on the earth. So because right now we believe that Isa alayhi salam is actually alive and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he will come back to the earth in order to marry and complete this circle of life and to die, because everything which is born has to die, no matter how it was born. So even though Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam were created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly and personally, Allah said, with my hands. Similarly, Isa alayhi salam was conceived miraculously by a spirit which was created for him and blown into him through his mother, Maryam alayhi salam. So he was, we believe, in the Immaculate Conception, but he also will have to die, just as Adam alayhi salam also died. So this is the where Rasulullah was born in the earth, and Musa alayhi salam was born to a Musa alayhi salam had a mother and father, and so did Rasulullah, who also had a mother and father, whereas Isa alayhi salam had a mother and there is no father for Isa alayhi salam. So there are many similarities between these two great messengers of Allah. Musa alayhi salam again is the Nabi of a very great Ummah, very great people who are the Bani Israel, and Alhamdulillah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the Nabi, of course, of the whole world and all humanity. But he was sent directly, or rather, he was sent for the whole world. But the people among whom he came were the Bani Ismail, the children and the descendants of the people of. Or rather, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is from the Bani Ismail. He's from the sons of and the descendants of Ismail alayhi salam, but he came to the Arabs. Now, so Musa alayhi salam, now he has been trained. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught him. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him nubuwwat, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the instruction to establish salah, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the exercise of throwing his stick down and picking it up and all that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drew his attention to the fact that no harm and no benefit can come except with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the training of Musa alayhi salam in Tawheed, in Salah, and in Tawakkul, which are required for anyone who wants to succeed, and of course, most of all, for a Nabi. So now Musa alayhi salam has been given a task, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to go to Fir'aun and to invite him to Islam, and then to tell him to release the Bani Israel from their slavery. And Musa alayhi salam then asked for the help of his brother, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted. Our mother, Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, said that there is no one who did more service and more who was better for his brother than Musa alayhi salam, because thanks to Musa alayhi salam's dua, Harun alayhi salam got nubuwwat. Imagine what is bigger and what's a greater honor than becoming and being a Nabi. And this happened in the case of Harun alayhi salam by the dua, or through the dua of his own brother. Now, when Musa alayhi salam is given this instruction to say, go to Fir'aun and invite him to the deen of Allah, as well as warn him from what he was doing, to desist, cease and desist, and to release the Bani Israel. Musa alayhi salam is now afraid of what will happen when he enters Egypt, because he remembered that there is a pending case against him for killing one of the Egyptian people. So he said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قال ربي إني قتلت منهم نفسا فأخاف أن يقتلون. Oh Allah, I have, oh my Rabb, I have killed a man among them and I fear that they will kill me. وأخي هارون هو أفصح مني لسانا فأرسله معي رضعا يصدقني إني أخاف أن يكذبون. And my brother Harun, he is more eloquent in speech than I am, so send him with me as a helper to confirm me. Verily, I fear they will belie and they will deny me. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforted him and Allah said, قَالَ سَنَشُدُّ عَدُودَكَ بِأَخِيكَ وَنَجْعَلُ لَكُمَا سُلْطَانًا فَلَا يَصِيلُونَ إِلَيْكُمَا بِآيَاتِنَا أَنْتُمَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَكُمَا الْغَالِبُونَ. Allah said, we will strengthen your arm through your brother and give you both power so they will not be able to harm you. With our ayat, you too as well as those who follow you will be the victors. Now the lesson we learn from here is that when we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to do, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the power and He will give us the authority and He will give us the strength to succeed. Now it's a very important lesson for us to learn, because many times we feel, if I do this and that, then I will lose out and this will happen and that will happen. No, nothing will happen. You will not lose out because you are following the instruction and the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you are following the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you cannot possibly lose out. You can only win because that is the rule. That is the rule, that is the fact that the one who follows the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot possibly lose. That person has to win. And Allah is saying this. Allah is saying to them that we will strengthen you and we will give you power so they cannot harm you. And then Allah said that you will be victorious. You too will be victorious. And anyone like you, anyone who does this will also be victorious. That is the message for us. اِذْهَبَا إِلَىٰ فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ تَغَىٰ فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَىٰ. Allah says to them, so go both of you to Fir'aun. Verily he has transgressed all boundaries. But speak to him, and speak to him nicely, mildly. Don't yell and scream at him. Nicely, mildly. Maybe he will accept admonition, he will accept your warning, or he will fear Allah. Now think about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows already that Fir'aun is not going to accept, right? And Allah knows that he is a transgressor, he is a zalim person. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Musa alayhi salam, speak to him softly. Don't scream at him. فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلَ اللَّيِّنَ. Allah says, speak to him softly and nicely and persuade. Now think about that. What is the need for that? Allah knows already that he is not going to get persuaded. Allah knows that he has not been given hidayah. He will not be given hidayah because he doesn't want hidayah. Because this is also part of the training of Musa alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending him here and Allah is saying, don't worry about him. You speak nicely because it's about you. Now this is a big, big lesson as far as we are concerned in communication. Many times we find that we are saying the right thing. We are saying the thing that is required to be said. We are saying it to the right people. But because we don't say it in the right way, it gets wasted. The effort gets wasted. So all the time and energy that you may have put into bringing yourself to a particular place, putting yourself in front of an audience, and many times these audiences are not easy to get. So you took the time and trouble to gather the people and all that. And then the way you speak, next thing you know, you have lost the people because people got offended, people got felt insulted, whatnot, and they left. Now there are many cases where this happens. I'm sure you know them, I know them. Maybe we have fallen into the same trap ourselves. I can definitely say that about myself. May Allah forgive me and may those who I hurt forgive me. My intentions were not to hurt anybody. My intentions were pure, inshallah, with sincerity. But, this is the whole problem. This is the whole problem of of passion and so on, which sometimes gets out of control. So it's very important, no matter how passionate you are, always remember and think about this and say that what is the final end result that I want, right? Ask yourself this question. I remind myself and you. Let us ask ourselves this question and say, what is the end result that I want? If the end result that I want is merely that I have to say what I have to say, to hell with everybody else, I don't care. They understand, they don't understand, they believe, they don't believe, they do, they don't do, I don't care, I am going to talk. If that is the case, then subhanAllah, may Allah help you. That is a very negative and useless and pointless exercise. Because what is the point? If you are going to or you want to influence somebody, if you want to persuade somebody, then the goal cannot be, my goal is to speak. No. My goal is to persuade. So if that person remains unpersuaded, or if that person gets turned off, then your goal is not achieved. Right? Your goal is not achieved. I remember a case where a very famous Dai, very famous speaker, was speaking about the problems and the very serious nature of shirk. And he was talking about the Christians calling Isa alayhi salam son of God, right? So, na'udhubillah. The topic was that. So, he's, or that particular moment in his speech, talking about this thing of saying how bad it is to call somebody son of God and to, make him sharik. Make him a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so on. Na'udhubillah. In his passion, he said this is worse than eating the excreta of a dog. Right? Now, that example, no matter how, I'm not trying to downplay the seriousness of shirk. I'm not trying to downplay the seriousness of saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a son or a daughter or something. No. But at the same time, if you say it in that way, then believe me, you have lost everybody, right? If your intention simply was to insult people or to turn off people, then I must say that you were humongously successful. But if that was not your intention, I'm sure it wasn't. If your intention was to persuade people to stop committing shirk, to persuade people to focus and think about the truth of Tawheed, then believe me, you just lost the game. You completely lost the plot. Because all that is going to be left with the listeners is a bad feeling. That's all, right? Even if you don't get confronted on the spot, even if somebody doesn't throw something at you or screams at you, those people are gone. Whoever you're talking to, believe me, nobody is convinced. Even people who would have been or would have been amenable to listening to you or who would have been convinced you with that one statement, you lost all of them. And this is a real incident which happened. I didn't make this up. I know I'm not mentioning any names, but this is a real incident which happened in one place, in a function, in a program. And I was told about this by the person who invited that speaker. And that person said that, imagine my state. He said, imagine my state. He said, I did not know what to do. He said, I really thought, I wish the earth would open and I would sink into it. He said, I wish I could run away. Because he said, what this man said, he said, it put me into such an embarrassing position with all. And he said, when the man came, I had invited a lot of my non-Muslim friends to come and listen to him because that's why they invited him. So now he said, at the end of this thing, is I had to face all those people who I invited. And that was horrible. So I'm saying that this is the problem of harsh speech. This is the problem of letting your passion overcome you. Even this person who said what he said, obviously his intention was good. Think about that. He didn't go there to say, I want to insult people. No, he had a good intention. He had his intention. But the problem is, it's not just your intention. Your intention is fine, but your intention is inside your heart. What is important and what is clear is what is visible, which is your communication. That's the reason why it's very important to be mild and soft in dawah. However, there's another side to it, which is, but not at the expense of truth. The truth must be spoken. That the truth must be spoken. In no matter what situation you are in, if you are in the name of masliha, in the name of diplomacy, in the name of tact, in the name of softness and persuasion, what call it what you want. If you are going to gloss over the truth, or if you are going to not speak the truth, or if you are going to actually, may Allah protect us, actually tell lies, then there is a very major problem. Because then it is not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who you are trying to please, you are trying to please the people, and so all your effort goes to zero. So if there is something to be said about the consequences of disobedience, then this should be said clearly. The wa'id has to be given. Bashiran wa nazira. The Anbiya alayhi salam were sent with these two jobs. Bashiran wa nazira. With bashara and also warning. Both together, not only one. Right? Amar bil maruf wa nahi anil munkar. It's not amar bil maruf. No, the enjoining good and forbidding evil. Not enjoining good or forbidding evil. No. So enjoining good, yes, important. Very important. Must do it. Bashara, very important. Yes, do talk about the good things. Do talk about the glad tidings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But do also remember to say that these glad tidings are not, they are not unconditional. They are not, you know, irrespective of what you do or do not do, but these are actually consequential. These glad tidings will happen to those who take the time and trouble to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's very important for us to be clear in our minds and ensure that this message is conveyed. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, inna قَدْ أُوْحِيَا إِلَيْنَا أَنَّ الْعَذَابَ عَلَىٰ مَنْ كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى. Truly it has been revealed to us that the torment will be for him who denies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and turns away from the truth. So this is part of the game. I mean, if you want to disobey, if you want to deny, then be prepared and understand that when you die in the akhirah, you will face the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nobody who denies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can expect to get to be rewarded for that, or even for it to be ignored. Because the reality is very simple. You know, people say, it's between me and God. Yes, it is. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to forgive somebody who committed shirk, he is free to do that. We are not here to, we are not saying here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot do this or cannot do that. However, the rule that we are mentioning is the rule mentioned by Allah Himself, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive the person who commits shirk, but He will forgive everything else. So if Allah said something, He will do it. This is something that we can be absolutely sure about. So now when Musa alayhi salam went to Firaun, Firaun reminded him of his crime, and that he had lived with them for many years. So he's trying to make Musa alayhi salam feel guilty for his actions. So he said, قَالَ أَلَمْ نُرَبِّكَ فِينَا وَلِيدًا وَلَبِثْتَ فِينَا مِنْ عُمُرِكَ سِنِينَ فَفَعَلْتَ فَعَلْتَكَ الَّتِي فَعَلْتَ وَأَنْتَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. He said to him, Firaun said to Musa alayhi salam, did we not bring you up among us as a child? I mean, you lived with us, we raised you, we did all everything good for you, and you did dwell many years of your life with us, and you did your deed, which you did, which is the killing of a man, and you are one of the ungrateful people, you are one of the ingrates. Because Musa alayhi salam, now Musa alayhi salam didn't murder somebody, it just happened accidentally, but it happened, or it happened at his hand. So Firaun is mentioning, now Musa alayhi salam accepted his mistake. He said, قَالَ فَعَلْتُهَا إِذًا وَأَنَا مِنَ الضَّالِّينَ فَفَرَرْتُ مِنْكُمْ لَمَّا خِفْتُكُمْ فَوَهَبَ لِي رَبِّي حُكْمًا وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And he announced his prophethood. He said, I did that when I was ignorant. He said, he's not saying I didn't kill the man. He said, yes, that happened. I'm sorry about that. That happened. It was accidental. Anyway, he said, I did that. Musa alayhi salam said, I did that when I was an ignorant person with regard to my Rabb and my and his message. So I fled from you. When I feared you, I ran away. But my Rabb has granted me hukman, that is, right judgment, religious knowledge and prophethood, and has appointed me as one of his messengers, as one of his rasuls. Now, Musa alayhi salam, therefore, even though he accepted his mistake, he refused to be intimidated or psychologically blackmailed and spoke directly of the real issue, that is the enslavement of Bani Israel, and that is the reason the Musa alayhi salam was raised by Firaun. Otherwise, he would have been raised by his own people, by his own parents. So this was not a favor on Firaun, but actually a sign of Firaun's oppression. I mean, you think about that. He says, if Firaun said, you know, you lived with us and we raised you, well, why did that happen? I mean, I had parents. My parents were happy to raise me. But you had to, it came to that because you were killing all the infants. You were not allowing them to be raised by their own people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to save me, so that's how it happened. So actually, the fact that you raised me is a sign of the zulm and the oppression and the cruelty that you were doing with the with my people. And then he said, وَتِلْكَ نِعْمَةٌ تَمَنُّوهَا عَلَيَّ أَنْ عَبَّدْتَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. And this is the past favor with you, with which you reproach me, that you have enslaved the children of Israel. Now then is the famous conversation between Musa and Firaun. قَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ وَمَا رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ قَالَ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِن كُنْتُم مُقِنِينَ قَالَ لِمَنْ حَوْلَهُ أَلَا تَسْتَمِعُونَ قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ وَرَبُّ آبَاؤُكُمُ الْأَوَّلِينَ قَالَ إِنَّا رَسُولُكُمُ الَّذِي أُرْسِلَ عَلَيْكُمْ لَمَجْنُونَ قَالَ رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِن كُنْتُم تَعْقِلُونَ. Firaun said, and what is the Rabb of the Alameen? What is this Rabbul Alameen? Yeah, even the tone, the way he's asking, وَمَا رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ? What is this Rabbul Alameen? You know, the way he's asking itself is very disrespectful, but in that's the way he's impertinent kind of way, but he's asking this way. So Musa alayhi salam says, he is the Rabb of the heavens and the earth and all that is between them. If you seek to be convinced with certainty, will you not believe? And then Firaun says to them, do you hear this man? Do you hear what he says? Now he's deliberately moving his attention away from Musa. Here's a conversation between two people, but now Firaun is ignoring him. He's talking. He says, listen to him, just listen to him. Huh? You guys here, listen to him. Firaun says, and verily, your messenger who has been sent to you is a madman. He says, he's a madman. Listen to this madman. He's talking. He's Rabbul Mashriq wal Maghrib wa ma baynahuma, Rabbul Samawati wal Ard wa ma baynahuma. What is all this? The Rabb of the East and the West and the Rabb of the Heavens and the Earth and everything in between. This man is mad. So he's now ignoring him and he's talking to the people around him in order to try to insult Musa alayhi salam. Think about this. See this whole conversation, how beautiful it is. It shows the focus of Musa alayhi salam on this subject of da'wah. Now Musa alayhi salam is giving da'wah to Firaun. He will not allow himself to get hooked into Firaun's games. He will not allow himself to get... Firaun is trying to provoke him, but Musa alayhi salam refuses to get provoked. Musa alayhi salam refuses to get hooked into that. Musa alayhi salam refuses to argue with him. For example, he's saying he's mad. Musa alayhi salam is not saying, no, I'm not mad, you are mad. What do you mean by saying I'm mad? What is madness? Define madness. He does not talk to Firaun. He does not get into an argument with Firaun. He does not engage with Firaun. He is talking about the greatness of his Rabb and he continues to talk. So the first thing he said was, Rabbi Samawati wal Ardi wa ma baynahuma in kuntum muqinun. He is the Rabb of the heavens and the earth and whatever is in between, and if you only obey. And then when the man says, when Firaun says all this, that he is mad and whatnot, What is Musa alayhi salam's reaction? As I told you, he doesn't engage with him. Musa alayhi salam's reaction is that he is the Rabb of the East and the West and all in between, if you could only understand. Rabbul Mashriqi wal Maghribi, wa ma baynahuma, where is it? Rabbul Mashriqi wal Maghribi, wa ma baynahuma in kuntum taqilun. If only you had some sense. He is the Rabb of the heavens and of the East and the West, if you only have some sense. So the lesson to understand here is that the role of the da'i is to give his message and to refuse to be distracted by anyone from saying all that he needs to say. He does not cut short his message, nor does he react to whatever his opposition is saying or saying to him or saying about him. He doesn't get provoked, he doesn't get hooked into their games. Never engage with the accuser. Don't engage with the accuser, don't defend yourself, because the moment you defend yourself, you are acknowledging that the accuser has significance, that the accuser's false accusations are, that they actually must be refuted, that they must be, that the false accusations must be answered. But if they are false in the first place, why do you want to dignify them by answering them? Right? No need. Ignore it. Just ignore it. I'm sorry, I'm not interested in this whole thing. You don't even say that. By your behavior, and what's the behavior? Is to continue to give your message, continue your da'wah. So now Fir'aun cannot get his way through provocation. So what does he do? He threatens. And this is the usual format that you will see. At first they try to provoke you, they deny you, and after that they threaten you, and then they try to harm you, they try to imprison you, they try to harm you. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has His will, then either you are shaheed or they become shuhada, in the sense of they will accept Islam, they will come to Islam. But you have to go through that whole cycle, that whole continuum, the whole process has to be engaged with. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَالَ لَا إِنِ اتَّخَذْتَ إِلَٰهًا غَيْرِي لَأَجْعَلَنَّكَ مِنَ الْمَسْجُونِينَ قَالَ أَوَلَوْ جِئْتُكَ بِشَيْءٍ مُبِينٍ قال فأتي به إن كنت من الصادقين فألقى عصاه فإذا هي ثعبان مبين ونزع يده فإذا هي بيضاء للناظرين قال للملأ حوله إن هذا لساحر عليم. So the Pharaoh said, if you choose an ilah, now he's making a general announcement to everybody, because Pharaoh, the Pharaohs were had declared themselves to be divine. This was a common thing among kings in those days, including, may Allah protect us, including Muslim kings. I mean, Muslim kings, the only saving grace was they did not declare themselves as divine, but they used to have people making sujood to them. The way of greeting the king was to fall in sajda before the king and put your forehead on the ground. This was also in the courts of Muslim kings, in Dalilah wa Inna Raju. But many of the others, for example, the Roman Caesars were deified, they were declared to be divine. Greek rulers did that, the Egyptian rulers did that. Many rulers, the Romans and the Persians did that. They made themselves or called themselves to be divine. So now Pharaoh is, his divine status is threatened, because Musa alayhi salam is coming with the truth, and Musa alayhi salam is saying nobody is divine except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody is worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah. So Pharaoh says that if you choose an ilah other than me, I will certainly imprison you. So Musa alayhi salam said, even if I bring you something manifest and convincing, he says, are you threatening me? But supposing I bring you evidence to show that you are not God, you are a human being, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is the creator, who is the Rabb, who is the Khaliq, Malik, Hakim. So Pharaoh says, bring it forth if you are truthful. Show me what's your evidence. So Musa alayhi salam threw his stick, and behold, it was a serpent, became turned into a big snake. And he drew out his hand, and behold, It was white to all beholders. His hand was shining white. Now what is Firaun's reaction? Same reaction that people had to Rasulullah. They said, verily, this is a very well-versed sorcerer. He said, this man is a magician. He's not a Rasul. He's a magician. He's doing some magic tricks, right? Here the stick becomes a snake, something happens, the hand shines, so I'm not impressed. Think about this. In the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how did the Shaqul Qamar, how did it happen? How did the moon split? Why did that happen? Because the Quraysh of Makkah, they demanded the Mushrikeen, they demanded from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they said, split the moon. If you are truthful, split the moon. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him this miracle that the moon split. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to make an ishara, to make a signal with his finger, and the moon split into two parts, moved aside, you could see the hills, mountains between them and so on, and then joined back. Now here is a situation where you've got a bunch of people who are saying to you, prove to us that you are a prophet. Well, how do I prove to you? Do a miracle. What miracle? This particular miracle. Not just anything. This particular, split the moon. And show proof to us. So now what? He splits the moon. So now what should happen? What should happen is that, okay, here are the bunch of people. You demanded that I should show you. I showed you. Now what? Now believe in me. Accept Islam. But no. No. What is their reaction? Oh, this is magic. So you ask for something and when it happens, you don't believe it. So what does it show? It shows that really you are not interested in the truth. You want to prove your point. You want to insist on your falsehood. And you want that to be the norm. Right? You're not going to accept. You will not accept the truth no matter how many times it comes to you, no matter what. You will continue to insist on your own falsehood. This is exactly what they did with Rasulullah, the Quraysh, the Mushrikeen of Makkah, and that's what Firaun did with Musa alayhi salam. He refused to ask, he refused to accept Musa alayhi salam as a Rasul, he refused to accept his message, and he refused to accept what he told him to do, which was to release the Bani Israel. Then he asked his advisors for the next course of action. He said, what shall we do? يُرِيدُ أَن يُخْرِجَكُم مِّنْ أَرْضِكُمْ بِسِحْرِهِ فَمَاذَا تَأْمُرُونَ قَالُوا أَرْجِحِ وَأَخَاهُ وَبَعَثْ فِي الْمَدَائِنِ حَاشِرِينَ يَأْتُوكَ بِكُلِّ سَحَّارٍ عَلِيمٍ فَجُمِعَ السَّحَرَةُ لِمِيقَاتِ يَوْمٍ مَعْلُومٍ وَقِيلَ لِلنَّاسِ هَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُجْتَمِعُونَ لَعَلَّنَا نَتَّبِعُ السَّحَرَةَ إِنْ كَانُوا هُمُ الْغَالِبِينَ. He wants to drive you out of your land by his sorcery. Then what is it your counsel and what do you command? So they said, put him off and his brother for a while and just leave them alone and send callers to the cities to bring up to you every one of your sorcerers. Now, Egypt was known for magic, for some very, very serious, very powerful magic. It had very powerful magicians and sorcerers. So they said, okay, here is a sorcerer. He's one sorcerer. We've got thousands of them. They will just send out messengers. Call all of them. Call the best of them and bring them. And so they assembled at a fixed time on a appointed day, and it was said to the people, are you too also going to assemble that we may follow the sorcerers who were the Firaun's religion of disbelief if they are the winners? Now this was Firaun's way of trying to intimidate Musa alayhi salam in whichever way that he could do. More inshallah, what was the role of the magicians in Egypt and so on and so forth, we'll see in our next class. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to follow his beautiful religion and to enable us to do the best that we can do with it in the best possible way. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among His obedient slaves and to bless us and to be pleased with us and never to be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.